Hey, amen. That's power, isn't it? Power in Jesus Christ. Man, we've seen it's hard not to be passionate about Jesus when you actually read the Gospels, isn't it? I mean, just in the last few times we've talked out of the Gospel of Mark, we've been able to see Jesus calm the seas. To say to the wind and the waves, peace, be still, and bam, it's done. We've seen Jesus face down a legion of demons and come away not scathed at all. The demons had no resistance, no power, no force to fight against what Jesus was able to do. We've seen a very, very powerful Savior, haven't we? Well, he's not done. Isn't that amazing? He's not done. I want to tell you the story of a man. We're going to move on to Mark chapter 5 verses. We'll start reading with 21 verses 28, named Jairus. Now, Jairus isn't a man I could have related to before I had my children. I thought I could. But until you look at your own little piece of you, got your pretty blue eyes smiling back at you, giving you that cheeser grin that he just does so well, you don't understand that deep, deep love, abiding love for your child. And Jairus is about to face a crucial moment in his life. So we'll pick up in verse 21 of Mark chapter 5. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And the woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up to him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Faith leads us to call on God. Faith leads us to do crazy things. You know, Jairus was a well-respected man. He was a synagogue leader. Now, being a synagogue leader, that put him in a place where, listen, there's a lot of people that didn't believe in Jesus, right? There's people going around and saying, "Stay away from this guy." They're looking back at his past and go, "Man, he's healing people on the Sabbath. You don't want anything to do with this man. Stay away from him. He's not doing good." And Jairus is a synagogue leader, but he comes to a real truth. A truth that makes us look past people's thinking, their processes, how they look at us, to say what is really true. You know, there are people that I know of who came out of very legalistic backgrounds. They were taught, ministered to in legalistic backgrounds and were adamant about teaching legalism. And then fate struck. One man in particular had the worst possible scenario. His wife and his young daughter were killed in a car accident. His world was shaken. And this man had to reevaluate. He had to look and ask himself, what is really true? And now he's one of my favorite teachers, because he found grace, he found mercy, he found love that weren't in his teachings before. You see, when we are forced into the realities of life, we have to step back and ask what is true. And Jairus looked and said, one thing I know is true is that everybody's telling me is this guy can heal. He's got power. Now, I want to focus on something real quick because it really struck me this time, is that it says a large crowd gathered around Jesus, right? And then as we move on, it says that the crowd pressed him. Okay. Now, as I was reading this passage and preparing this sermon, I instantly thought back. So when I was in the Navy, we pulled into Guam. Okay, it's a very small island over near Hawaii. It's a Pacific island. And there were some things that had gone wrong. We've been out to sea for a few months, and there were some things that they had to fix. So we pull into port. And when we pull in, there were supposed to be these buses that would take us into town. You know, so all of us, like you've got thousands of guys who've been stuck on a ship, guys and ladies, who have been stuck on a ship for 2 months. And we go out waiting, expecting these buses to be there. We're thinking like, all right, we're going to go have some fun. We're going to relax, blow off some steam. And when we get out there, guess what there is? Nothing. No buses. There's all these plastic barricades that were there to protect the ship. And so luckily, me and my buddies, we were cut loose early, so we were able to be at the front. And I'm thinking, this is awesome. When these buses get here, I'm going to be the first one on. I'm going to be the first one in town. I'm going to go to my hotel room. I'm going to relax. Everything's going to be awesome. Well, the problem was is that as people started stacking behind, then all of a sudden these buses started showing up. And you know what people started doing? Pushing! You know, and so I'm like, I'm squeezed in, my legs pinned next to this barricade, and all of a sudden I start feeling push, push, and I can't move my leg. There's just so much pressure, and I'm starting to freak out a little bit. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is, you know, and so these people, they have no ill intent towards me. It's not like they were thinking in the back, like, let's break John's leg. But the reality is there was so much pressure, so much pushing, so much going on that I was in danger. Now, thankfully, we have good leadership in the Navy. A master chief stepped up and he goes, hey, knock it off, quit pushing, back it up, back it up. And all of a sudden, the pressure relieved on my leg. If it had not been for that master chief, I probably would have been spending my time in the medical bay instead of out having fun with my friends. And so it's important to realize when you're talking about these crowds, it's the reason why Jesus said, I need a boat, guys. We got to get a boat because if these people start pressing me, you know, this could get bad. And so Jesus comes in, and I wanted to give you this perspective because I wanted you to understand what Jairus was putting himself into. He is fighting through this crowd. Now that's love, isn't it? He's willing to do whatever it takes for his little daughter to push his way through that crowd just so he can fall at Jesus' feet and say, please, come heal my daughter. And while Jairus in this aspect is a great example of faith, the woman with the bleeding actually blows my mind, okay? Because I want you to understand something about this. Like, okay, so basically what this is talking about is this woman is having a constant bleeding like a period, okay? Like women go through their time a month. Could you imagine this going on and on and on for 12 years? This woman would be anemic. You know, our blood is where we get our energy, right? It's where our oxygen comes from. It's where our iron comes from. All the things that our bodies need to be able to function and be healthy is just pouring out of this woman for 12 years. Can you imagine having no energy? She had to take everything that was left in her to get to this crowd. And then this pressing crowd, the crowds that have power to crush people, she pushed her way through in order to get to Jesus. That's pretty amazing. But what's even more amazing is that she was not allowed to do this. You see, in Leviticus 15, verse 19, and then verses 25 through 27, it says, when a woman has her regular flow of blood, the impurity of her monthly period will last 7 days, and anyone who touches her will be unclean till evening. Okay? I want you to hear that. Anybody she touches, according to the old law, is unclean. Okay? When a woman has a discharge of blood for many days at a time other than her monthly period, or has a discharge that continues beyond her period, she will be unclean as long as she has the discharge, just as in the days of her period. Any bed she lies in while discharge continues will be unclean as her bed during her monthly period, and anything she sits on will be unclean as during her period. Anyone who touches them will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe in water, and they will be unclean until evening. I mean, this blows our mind, right? Because this is not like how our society works, but this woman was taking a huge, huge risk. Because anybody that knew her knew that she was unclean. And here she is, every person pushing through this crowd, making people unclean. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how people would feel if they realized what this woman was doing? But you see, she had faith. She looked at her reality. She'd been to every doctor. And like we talked about last Sunday, men do what they can, but men cannot heal completely. Men cannot heal completely. Only the power of Jesus can heal completely. And so as we're looking at this, this woman risked real rage, people being furious with her for making this choice. And so she stepped out in faith, just like Jairus. She stepped out and was willing to put herself at risk in the hopes that this thing that had been tormenting her for 12 years could be taken care of. Now, the sad reality of this is the timing of it. Because it's wonderful that she's getting healed, right? Like, it's wonderful that she recognizes what she needs to do. But there's a little girl dying. You know, one of the things about ethics, you know, you get all these ethics courses and things when you go to college, and one of the things that sticks out and remains in my brain is there's a train coming down the tracks with 150 people on it, and there's one child standing on the track. Now, you can stop this train to save the child, but you're going to kill the 150 people on the train. Which one dies? It's sick. It's sick to think about these things. But the reality of living in a broken world is that we have these scales in our mind. What's more valuable? What life is more valuable? Now, praise the Lord, every life is valuable. It's a moot question, because the bottom line is every one of the people on that train and that child all matter. They're all equally valuable in God's eyes. But you see, for Jairus, whose little daughter is dying, it's not equal, is it? There's no equality in this equation. If the doctor is stopping to check somebody's tonsillitis while my daughter is in and can't breathe, I'm going to grab him by the scruff of the neck and go, "You're busy. He'll be back with you later." Amen? Am I crazy? That's how we feel. That's what our love does for us. But as we continue on, we get to see how God works. In Mark chapter 5, verses 29 through 36, it says, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." Now, there's something very important here. I've always stood in awe of this woman for her faith. Every time I've ever preached about this woman, I've focused on her faith and how her faith led her to Jesus and how over all the risks she found her healing. But the reality is that there's another side of this story, and that is that fear slows God's plan. Fear slows God's plans. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying here is this woman and the interaction that's happening wasn't quick. It's not as fast as a verse in the Bible. See, Jesus is walking along with Jairus. He's going down this path, and all of a sudden, he recognizes power's gone out of him. Somebody's been healed, okay? And this woman, knowing that she's healed, waits. Why? Because she's afraid. She is fearful of what might happen. So when Jesus stops and goes, "Who touched me?" That's the point you say, "Me, Jesus, me, you healed me." But she didn't. She paused enough time for Jesus' disciples to go, "What are you talking about, Jesus? There's like, which one of the hundreds of people are you talking about? That one touched you, and that one touched you, and that one touched you. I'm pretty sure down this whole row back here, everybody put their hands on you. What are you talking about?" And Jesus still had time to pause and look around. He's still going. Now I'm taking Jairus' side again, and I'm going, "Let's go. It doesn't matter. It's not important. My daughter's dying." But Jesus paused and waited to find out what was going on. You see, her fear caused her to wait. And when she finally realized, you know, Jesus isn't going to let this go. He's going to stay put until he finds out who touched him. And then she falls down, trembling before Jesus. You see, our fears isolate us from God. She had his power, right? She'd been healed. But what she needed now, what she needed more than anything, was she needed to hear what Jesus had to say to her. "Go in peace. Your faith has made you well." See, so many times in our lives, you know, we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been purchased. All of us who have died to ourselves, been buried with him in the waters of baptism and risen to a new life, are clothed in him. We are clothed in Christ. And in that, we have the healing. We've been healed. But you see, there's still so much guilt and shame and fear. This woman knew she wasn't supposed to be there. This woman knew good and well that she was unclean and that by touching all of these people, she was making them unclean. And so all she could focus on was what was before and not what was now. Now she was healed. She had seen the grace of Jesus in the stopping of the flowing of this blood. She was made whole. And we too have a tendency to revert back to that old fearful place of, can God love me? Can God care about me? I sinned again. Is there any hope for me? We go back to this place, and what we need to be hearing, what we need to be constantly reminding ourselves of, is that God has told us just the same as Jesus told this woman. Go in peace. You can be at peace in your life because he's made you well. Now, Jesus also says to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more, right? So we need to remember that aspect, that our lives need to be changed. But God has given you a place of peace. Live in it. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Fear also makes us impatient. Uh-oh. Now I'm in trouble. Here I am taking Jairus' side. Come heal my little girl. That's impatience, isn't it? There is a part of us, come on, get it done now. Solve my problem now. Why aren't you healing me? Why am I not seeing this experience? Why don't you give me the thing that I feel like I need more than anything else in the world? And the response to that is simple. The reason I do that, I'm afraid. I'm fearful that things will not work out for me. I'm fearful that everything that I'm responsible for is not going to get done. See, fear makes us impatient. It causes us to be people who just simply live in anxious and overwhelmed status because I want to know it's going to get done. I want to know the solution. I want to know the plan. And most of the time, I want to be the catalyst for all of it too. I want to solve the problem. You see, for Jairus, you could look and say he'd done his part, right? He went to get Jesus. He could have looked at that as him fixing the problem. And so even though I would look, if I were Jairus, I would look and I'd be like, you know what? Let's go. That's not God's will. That's not God's plan. And so Jairus faces his greatest fear. The greatest fear of any parent. To hear, your child is dead. Don't trouble the teacher anymore. Your child is dead. It's an overwhelming thought. But you see, Jesus steps into the fray. He knows Jairus is about to break. He knows he's crushed. And he says, do not fear. Only believe. How does that play out in your life? Do you hear God speaking to you in the turmoil, the chaos, the trouble of your lives, where you're looking for that answer, where you're fearful because you've fallen short, or you're impatient because you want it solved right now? Do you hear the voice of Jesus calling out to you and saying, do not be afraid, only believe. That's the heart of God for you. He doesn't want you to live in fear. You think he wanted Adam and Eve hiding behind trees with knitted together fig leaves? No, he wanted a relationship. And so he clothed them and he made a way for them. See, the power and the truth is that trust leads to healing. Trust leads to healing. You see, when the woman with the bleeding finally reached inside and chose to trust in the goodness of Jesus, she was healed. She was healed. Listen, if you walk away with nothing today, remember this, God is good.
Amen.
Say it with me, God is good.
God is good.
God is good. God is good. God is good, guys. And the problem is that we start to look and we start thinking like, oh, he could never love me. Oh, I'm so broken. Or all of these things that are going on. And like, he must not be good towards me because my life is in total chaos right now. And I just don't see how it could possibly be good. How could God possibly be good? God is good. See, Jesus showed something very, very important in the fact that he wouldn't just heal her and let her go. Do you realize that? He could have. I mean, there may be other examples where Jesus, I mean, I know the apostles, they'd hand out their clothing and the clothing would be brought to people and they'd be healed. And the apostles didn't say a word to those people. Now, granted, those are believers that are putting the clothes there and I'm sure they're sharing the gospel. But Jesus needed her to know, to understand that her faith had made her well. She could live in peace. That trust that built up was something that she needed to embrace. And the same was true for Jairus. In Mark chapter 5, verses 36 through 43, it says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. You see, it might have been easy for Jairus to just say, you know what? No. You should have come sooner. Now my daughter's dying. Some of us do that, don't we? Some human beings do. God, you didn't come soon enough, so I can't trust you. Why didn't you come when I was being abused? Why didn't you come when my world was in total and complete chaos? Why didn't I feel your presence there in that place? We have a tendency to get caught up in the brokenness so much so that we lose sight of the fact that God loves you, that God is good, that God is not the one who hurt you. God is the one that loves you and is ready to heal you. And there come times in our lives when we got to let go of the past. We've got to let go of all of the ways that we were hurt. We've got to turn them over to the Lord. We've got to trust in His ability to heal all of the brokenness inside of us, to put our trust in Him to move mightily. Jairus did not give in to fear. He didn't become bitter. He didn't push Jesus away. He walked with him into that room. And you know what he got to see? Healing. He had the most precious thing in his life back. That beautiful little girl was there with him. You see, it's easy to believe in God's love when things are going good. But what about when the rubber meets the road, when life gets hard? Can we still trust that God is good? And that's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of knowing Jesus Christ, is because the answer is yes, He will always come through for you. He will always come through for you. It may not be when you want it to be. It may not look how you want it to look. And I promise you, if you let fear set in, and try and take control, it's going to get more broken. So my plea to you is, if today you are trying to fight your own battles, if you're trying to do it on your own, if you're trying to solve your own problems, stop. It's only going to get worse. The only way to find healing is to trust in the great physician, to believe in the power of Jesus Christ to heal. He's proven it. Do you have storms? He can calm them. Do you have spiritual sickness? He can cast it out. Do you have pains and ailments that cripple your heart? Not your body, your heart. He can heal them. You see, God comes through. And if you got any question about that, all you have to do is look at the cross. He didn't fail. He died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose again. And through that, we too have a hope of eternal life. Hard times cause us to seek the Lord. Jairus and this woman knew where to turn. So do you. There's nobody sitting in this room that doesn't know where the answers are. So the key is, cast out your fear. Get rid of it. And trust. Do not be afraid, only believe. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you now, and I just want to thank you so much for your love for us. Lord, I'm just amazed at the life that your son lived. I'm amazed at the things that you used him to do. I'm amazed at the glory that you displayed here on earth. Lord, it's so powerful to know that there is nothing that we face, nothing that we go through, that God cannot, that you cannot heal. There's nothing that we will endure that you are not bigger than. And so, Lord, I just ask you now, cast all the fear out of our hearts. In those places where we try and take control because we're afraid that it's not going to work out, shut that down. In the places where we are reminded by the enemy of how broken we were, how we still fall short, remind us of the peace that you promised us and the love, and give us the strength to turn wholeheartedly into you, so that when we fall again into sin, that our instinct is to say, Lord, I have let you down. Be my guide. Carry me through. Help me to walk the path that you want me to walk. You have the power, and we can trust in you. And I pray that we all will. I pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.